Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Osisko Gold Royalties second quarter 2016 results conference call. After the presentation, we will conduct a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please pick up your receiver and press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Please note that this call is being recorded today, August 4th, 2016, at 4:30 Eastern Standard Time. I would now like to turn the meeting over to our host for today's call, Mr. Sean Rosen, Chair of the Board of Directors and Chief Executive Officer of Osisko Gold Royalties. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs, et bienvenue à l'appel conférence du deuxième trimestre de 2016 de redevances orifères Osisko Limité. Après la présentation, nous procéderons à une séance de questions et réponses. Si vous désirez poser une question, veuillez décrocher le combiné du téléphone et appuyer sur la touche étoile suivie du numéro 1. Veuillez prendre note que cet appel est enregistré aujourd'hui le 4 août à 14h30 heure de l'Est. J'aimerais maintenant céder la parole à votre hôte, M. Sean Rosen, président du conseil d'administration et chef de la direction de redevances orifères Osisko.
Merci beaucoup et bienvenue ce soir à l'appel conférence concernant le deuxième trimestre Osisko Gold Royalties qui finit notre 24 mois, premier 24 mois comme Osisko Gold Royalties. I'm going to be referring to a PowerPoint that's located on our website. That is titled 2016 Q2 Results. Je vais acheter aujourd'hui un PowerPoint qui se trouve sur notre site web qui est nommé Résultats du deuxième trimestre 2016. On va commencer à la page 4. We raised in the first 24 months of the existence of Osisko Gold Royalties $500 million in capital. We've secured a $200 million of available credit that has not been drawn down. We've successfully established our incubator royalty model, which involves the investment and evolution of development and exploration companies through both equity and royalty purchases. We've continued to have success in our equity portfolios, which has now grown to a total value of $171.8 million, representing $66.9 million of unrealized gains at June 30th, 2016. So, pretty successful portion of our program. We deployed $212 million of capital into new investments, and we grew our royalty portfolio to a total of 52 royalties and 3 royalty options. We've also been able to declare our 8th dividend as of this quarter and paid a total of $26.6 million of dividend as of this quarter. So a lot of our objectives have been met, and in some cases we've exceeded them. On to page 5, we've seen our cash net cash flow grow from $6.5 million in Q2 2015 to $15 million for the second quarter of 2016, representing 133% increase in our cash flow. Revenues also increased from $10.2 to $15.8 million, representing a 54% increase in gross revenue. In terms of our gold deliveries and reception, one thing to make note of is that we receive 100% royalty gold. That is zero cost gold to us. So it's quite a bit more potent than just a normal stream. And we've seen our gold received for Q2 at 9,488 ounces, up from 6,888.7 in 2015. Also for the year 2016, year-to-date, we've received 18,891 ounces, and we're on schedule to meet our guidance of somewhere between 34,500 and 37,200 for total ounces received and plan to receive for 2016. On to page 7 of our PowerPoint, realized gold price has been in our favor, obviously increasing as the U.S. dollar, Canadian dollar, has played out, as well as the increase in the U.S. dollar-based gold price. For the last quarter of 2016, we had a realized gold price in Canadian dollars of $1,631, and Q1 ran around $1,636, up significantly from 2015, where we averaged around $1,490 Canadian an ounce. So if we look at the Max London port fixing in Canadian dollars, we hit $1,888 an ounce for September 6, 2011. So all in all, in Canadian dollars, we've been seeing some remarkably good benefits as we see this gold rally continue and the Canadian dollar working on our side as well. On to page 8, summary of our investments in equities. Our investment portfolio has a total cash in of $104.9 million, and as of June 30th, represented about $171,800,000 for an unrealized gain of $67 million as at the end of the second quarter. We've continued to execute our incubator model in terms of acquiring royalties, both through by having an equity component and the direct royalty component, allowing us to have near-term returns on equity while we wait for development projects to grow their legs. And we've given you an example of this on page 9, our Barkerville investment. We had purchased 1.5% royalty in 2016 for a cost of $25 million, and we had invested a $15.4 million flow-through financing. If we look at the cost, the value of our unrealized portion of the asset right now, we're up about $15.4 million. So the cost of the royalty right now is actually net about $9.6 million. So that's our incubator model when it works right, and then we think that it's been a good tool for us. And if we look at the Arizona Mining transaction from Q1, we purchased the royalty for $10 million, and we have an unrealized gain on the equity portion of $14.8 million. So we're actually up $4.8 million over and above the cost of the royalty. So we believe that that is good accretion to our shareholders and gives us a little bit of a different model in terms of how we approach generating royalties and or streams. Q2 results for the 3 months ended June 30th, 2016, which was would have been our 24 months of operation. Gold production was at 9,488 ounces. The breakdown on a per project basis here, obviously Canadian Malartic being the bulk of that at 7,200, and Éléonore at 1,500, and just about 1,600. Silver production, we received around 7,900 ounces, and a realized gold price again was 1,631 Canadian. Revenues for the quarter was just a tick under $16 million at $15,792,000 for a net cash flow of $15 million. So earnings per share is at 15 cents, up from 4 cents as of June 30, 2015. So a significant increase there as well. Overall health of the balance sheet on page 11. We have $200 million of undrawn debt that has not been drawn. We currently have cash and cash equivalents for $424 million. We have a convertible debt of $45.3 million. Total assets now at $1.354 billion, with equity at $1.16 billion. Total cash and available credit, if we were to pull everything, would be $625 million Canadian available for deployment, making us one of the healthier companies in the space in terms of ability to deploy capital. Page 12, a distribution of our current producing royalties. Obviously, Canadian Malartic is our 5% our cornerstone asset. Goldcorp's Éléonore royalty, starting at 2%, sliding to 3.5%. And then our next biggest investment would be the investment in LIF, Iron Ore Corporation of Canada, which has a pass-through royalty at 0.7% on the IOC assets located in Labrador. The Nottoway assets, a smaller project, Island Gold, which is operated by Richmont, we have a 1.7% 2.55% NSR on that. Again, these are all royalty ounces, not streaming ounces, so they're quite potent in terms of their net return and their ability to continue to deliver similar margins throughout the life of the project. Canadian Malartic, things are moving forward. Currently, reserves sitting at 7.72 million ounces, top line royalty of 5%, plus a 40 cent a ton gating fee after 7 years for any projects that get processed in that mill. Currently online to be Canada's largest single asset gold producer for the year at 590,000 ounces in the guidance, or sorry, 560 to 580,000 ounces of guidance for this year, and production for 2015 was at 572,000 ounces. Q2 production was at 145,000 ounces, so keeping quite good pace and online to continue to look like Canada's number one producer in terms of gold mines. Canadian Malartic has also seen some success at the drill bit. The Barnett extension is underway, and the permitting for that, which will help some throughput. The permit there is in the final process with the BAP process, and we expect to see that project permitting should happen sometime near the end of this year, early into next year. That will allow feed from the Barnett Zone, which contains softer ore with higher grades, so that that could add to production here in the near term and create some organic growth with our existing asset base. There was also the announcement of the Odyssey North and South success by the exploration programs carried out by the joint venture of the Canadian Malartic joint venture operated by both Agnico and Yamana. See the map on page 15, you'll see the Odyssey North and the Odyssey South zones. Significant drill results throughout the project there, and it continues to look like it's going to add both mine life and overall ounces to the project at higher grades than the currently exploited Canadian Malartic pit is at. So we're seeing some organic growth on that. A summary on page 16, 57 holes for a total of 53,000 meters has been completed, showing similarities in terms of mining size and exploitation for bulk mining underground, similar to what Agnico is operating at Goldex. Odyssey North has been traced from a depth of 600 meters to 1,300 meters below surface, along a strike of approximately 1.5 kilometers, so sizable bulk tonnage underground targets, just the kind of thing we like to see. Odyssey South has been connected over a half kilometer strike length between 200 and 500 meters below surface, so relatively shallow and accessible as well. Currently, the partners have a commitment of about $5.5 million for 35,000 meters to be added to the original budget of $8 million. For a total of $13.5 million budgeted for 2016. Initial inferred resource estimate for Odyssey Zones is expected at the end of 2016. Cisco holds a 5% royalty on Odyssey South and a 3% royalty on the Odyssey North Zone. Continuing on to Eleanor, continuing to ramp up that project. We're currently in a 2% royalty position, and we will be increasing by a quarter of a percent for each million ounces produced after the first 3 million ounces. So we have organic growth in that royalty as that mine matures and ramps up as well. 2015 production was at 268,000 ounces for the year. Currently, the Q2 project production was at 74,000 ounces. Guidance for this year is 250,000 to 280,000 ounces, which would translate to about 5.5 to 6,200 ounces of net zero-cost gold for Osisko gold royalties coming to us from that project. Page 18 gives you a bit of a an oversight on the other producing royalties we have. The Island Gold, operated by Richmont in Western Ontario. And it's a mine that's been operating since 2007, recently announced a PE update on the deep resource, has seen about a 200% increase in reserve development there. And production for 2015 was at 55,000 ounces for the year and continued to grow. 142,000 meters Phase 2 drilling campaign is underway for this year. We expect to see significant resource and reserve conversions as that project matures. Our 0.7% pass-through royalty that we received via dividend on equity investments that we've made in Labrador Iron Ore Corporation continue to deliver. It is one of the biggest royalties out there. It's a 7% top-line royalty on the IOC assets, and they also own a 15% equity interest in IOC, and they receive a 10-cent ton commission on all iron ore sales by IOC. So we receive roughly a 0.7% royalty. It is a long-life asset that's been operating from 1954 with the mine plan currently plus 25 years left to go at current iron ore prices. The small project that we have an investment in, Visa, Nottingway, is currently ramping up. We've received about 250 ounces of gold from that project, and we expect to see that continue to ramp up. Page 19, a summary of our other royalties on new growth assets. As you can see, very Canadian-centric with only one project in the Hermosa Sulfides in Arizona. Quite a big discovery there by Arizona Mining, where we hold a 1% royalty. the Caribou District in operated by Barkerville in BC, and then back to Quebec where we have a 1% royalty on the Horn Mine, 0.5% royalty on the Windfall Project, 2% on Pandora, 1.7% on Lamaque, operated by Integra, and the Marban Project, 0.427%, and then Odyssey and North and South as discussed previously, and then a 2% royalty that we hold on the previously the Queenston ground that we acquired as Cisco One, and it was passed on to the joint venture as through the sale of Cisco Mining. Page 20, a bit of a summary. I won't go through it all here, but all these projects, Island Gold being in production, Windfall Lake has been delivering significant exploration success and infill drilling to increase confidence in that resource. In-pit resource announced that it Marban of 1.48 million ounces, or 37 million tons, under the grade of 1.24, located about 13 kilometers away from Canadian Malartic and not that far away from Goldex as well. So on infrastructure, good open pit, soft rock, good recoveries. It's a good-looking project right now that we're very happy to see. It's been moving forward at quite a good rate. Good success on Falco Resources' Horn 5 project. The PA was completed in Q2, $666.7 million of NPV with a 16% internal rate of return based on the U.S. $1,250 gold. This is a good project, one of the largest undeveloped resources left in Canada. The Hermosa project, as summarized here, continues to be delivering significant results on the Taylor deposit. Planned for 125,000 meters in 2016. And again, top performer on the equity line for us, as well as continue to add tons and success as that project has evolved quite quickly. Page 22 is basically a summary of reserves and resources. I won't go into it right now, but again, just a summary for our 22 months. It's been quite active, and we've seen quite a bit of increase in almost all metrics in terms of the evolving projects that we already work on and the projects that we've been able to invest in over the last 2 years. On that note, we did see 133% increase in our operating cash flow, and we have declared our eighth dividend on this project. So I think we're well on track to meet our objectives and continue to grow into our role in the royalty space. And from a strategy session, you may have seen that we've also, OBAN was renamed Osisko Mining Group, and we've continued to evolve our platform in terms of how Osisko Gold Royalties and our Investco companies operate and how we use our technical team and financial team to help unlock value for shareholders in both companies as we evolve into our plan to continue to grow both the royalty business and the Investco companies that we've invested in over the last 24 months. On that note, I thank everybody for calling in and open the line up for questions.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. J'aimerais vous rappeler que pour poser une question, appuyez sur l'étoile suivie du numéro 1 sur votre clavier téléphonique. Veuillez patienter un moment pendant que nous compilons les questions. Your first question comes from the line of Dan Rollins from RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Dan, can you hear us?
Mr.
Sorry.
Rollins?
Yeah, I had mute there. Just want to congrats on the first 2 years. Just wanted to talk about what you're seeing from the pipeline opportunity. You did start off your comments by talking about the funds that you have raised and that you have most of those funds still on the balance sheet. And then I know when you did the last equity raise, it was sort of to get a seat at the table with some of the bigger, chunkier deals. Do you see the opportunity out there on those big, chunky deals right now, or do you see it the earlier stage opportunities more creative right now?
Obviously, there's a couple deals that printed in the space recently. We are involved in a lot of processes right now, Dan. Hopefully, we'll continue to work on those, and they've evolved, and there is a significant amount of balance sheet debt conversion going on in the space that creates probably more opportunity than usual. And as we've said before, we are a participant at those tables. We did raise funds, as you said, in Q1, which allows us to bid up to a $500 million U.S. dollar project without having to come back to market or be subject to conditions. So that's where we wanted to be. That's where we are. And hopefully we'll come back to you with some form of success on those bigger projects as we get into it. We are seeing in the pipeline evolution on the project development size as more projects are starting to consider production decisions. So we're being involved in those, and we're also seeing some deal flow in terms of the asset disposal processes that are going along where people are using royalty or stream participants to be part of the acquisition financing through those processes. So again, we're seeing lots of work going on, and hopefully we'll be back to market with something as these processes unfold.
And then with respect to the Horn 5, when do you think you would be in a position to have something negotiated with Falco on that transaction? I know there's a bit of a window where you can negotiate a deal, but when do you think realistically you would have something pen to paper?
Are you referring to the royalty, or are you referring to
the stream, the potential stream?
As you know, the PA study came out. There's discussions with our partners at Glencore to evolve and try and push a feasibility study out by the first half of next year. So in the context of that feasibility and heading into permitting, that is when we would foresee that happening. Once we get a feasibility in hand, we're in the permitting process. We will be pushing hard to line up the project financing to help Falco achieve success there with our partners at Glencore.
And then maybe you could just touch base. I know as we roll into early 17, I believe the agreement you had with on the Virginia expiration properties, I do believe, expires. Where do you stand with starting to monetize some of the expiration portfolio that you did bring in with the Virginia acquisition?
Well, you're quite right, Dan. We have a three-year commitment there. You know, our evolution here in Quebec, we continue to refine and take advantage of the talent pool that we have with our teams here. There's quite a bit of value here in Quebec on those assets. We're not quite ready to finalize our plans on that portion of our asset base at present, but we are working to get back to them with a refinement on how we're going to proceed there. Obviously, our intent is to create a very sustainable business on the James Bay assets and continue to take advantage of the hard work that Andre Gaumont and Paul Archer and the team, Virginia team, put in there, and you know, to make sure that they have continued support to hopefully create the same success that they've had in the past through the discovery of Eleanor. And there's nobody else out there really has that knowledge base or the land package to continue. So we see that as a significant asset within the company, and we want to make sure that we get the best we can for our shareholders.
Okay. Thanks very much, guys.
Your next question comes from the line of Tara Hassan from Haywood Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Afternoon, gentlemen. Just a quick question on the equity component. I mean, you demonstrated in the presentation some of the examples where, you know, you've had significant increases in your equity value, and previously have talked about ways that you could monetize that component of your portfolio. How are you feeling, you know, given where we are in the precious metals environment and some of the wins you've had in that portfolio on how you approach that over the next year?
I think that, you know, for the most part, you know, the equity positions that we hold are strategic in nature. We continue to believe that those assets have growth in them. And, you know, we see occasions where we do sell out when we see there's some profit to be taken. You know, the goal of the portfolio originally was to be strategic, but we are opportunistic as well. So in some cases, we have monetized positions, and we've been able to demonstrate that. You know, in terms of what you'll see in the quarterly reports, we did have about $4.3 million of gains through the sale of equities for the quarter. So we like that portion of our portfolio. We have an unrealized gain of about $67 million overall, and we continue to think that you know, the due diligence work that we do in our Cisco Gold Royalties life also allows us to be reasonably good stewards of equity investments, which we do when we feel we have all of our ducks in a row in terms of of seeing a potential royalty or streaming opportunity. So we think that that's a very good portion of our business and a good catalyst to perhaps get us into situations where we can earn a royalty sooner rather than later in the process, and hopefully at a better valuation than the bank run processes. So that continues to be strategic to us, and our equity portfolio is a catalyst in that process.
Okay. And just on the G&A side, obviously a bit higher this quarter with share-based comp, but outside of that, when should we expect to see the G&A reduce as you sort of push some of those costs down to the portfolio companies?
I think, by the end of this year, we'll have a fair amount of restructuring in place. As you know, we've entered into agreements in Q1 and Q2 to allocate some of our technical and administrative people into projects. That portion of the business, I'm very satisfied with the progress we were making there. We had given that guidance in the market that we needed a couple years to get going, and I think that the activities that we were able to achieve in Q1 and Q2, where we had about $5 or $6 million of G&A that will be offset to our investors as we provide services and people to make those happen. So we are on track, and I've been very happy with the process that we're in and the ability to have our people go and help unlock value in those companies.
Perfect. Thanks.
If there are any additional questions at this time, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Encore pour poser une question, composez l'étoile suivie du numéro 1 sur votre clavier téléphonique. Your next question comes from the line of John Schlodnick from Desjardins Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, guys. I'm just wondering, just to follow up on some of the opportunities you guys are seeing, if the economics are right, would you guys look outside North America?
Obviously, Quebec, Ontario, BC first, and anything Canadian in there second, and then North America after that. So we have looked at strategic investments outside of North America, specifically on mature assets, and we're involved in several things that could take us outside of North America, but they're on significant resources with what we believe, cornerstone profiles and long life assets. So yes we would, and those are the kind of opportunities that we would be a participant in.
Perfect, thanks. And just one more, just wondering what your ideal capital structure might be and how much debt you might take on in your final state.
We wanted to maintain our profile in the royalty space. We've got a pretty good dividend yield now, so we would want to maintain the capacity to at the very least maintain our dividend profile, if not be able to increase it. In terms of debt, we've not been historically, we haven't run high levels of debt in companies that we're involved in right now, and I don't see why we'd change that. I think that we would probably keep our debt levels, in the sort of the $200 to $300 million range would be the maximum I'd be comfortable with if we were deploying into something sizable, sort of in the the $200 to $500 million range, but we want to make sure that we have a sustainable business and that we can weather all commodity prices.
Fair enough. That's great. That's all for me. Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Cosmo Xu from CIBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sean, and thanks for hosting the call. Just one quick question from me. Can you remind me once again of the tax status of the company? Are you paying cash taxes, or did you pay any cash taxes in Q2? I'm just seeing that, the entire tax expense is added back to calculate cash flow.
Through our tax pools and our investment into flow-through investments, we have not paid any cash taxes to date.
Okay. And Sean, when would you expect to pay cash taxes?
It depends on how we play it out, but right now we wouldn't pay anything in 2016, and we'll be looking to reorganize ourselves for 2017 and address the issues that come at us then.
Okay, great. Thanks. That's all.
All right.
There are no further questions at this time. I turn the call back over to the presenters.
All right. Thank you. I know some people didn't get their questions in, but we are running out of scheduled time. So I thank everybody, and we'll look forward to seeing you either at one of the investment conferences or at the next quarterly call. Thank you for your continued support.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect. Ceci met fin notre conférence d'aujourd'hui. Vous pouvez maintenant raccrocher.